Big old step in Rotation. This is Rasmasm.
Allow me to translate. Welcome to Capes and Scowls. My name is Tim. I shouldn't have ate all that cheese. I'll be right back. I gotta throw up, and it'll sound like this. All right, I've thrown up very quickly, and now I'm feeling pretty good. It'll just take me a second to get back to normal talking.
Ah, there it is.
Okay, good. I'm glad you shouted out that window.
Man, yeah. I mean, I think I've done enough damage to this room. There was that one episode where I blew it all up.
Yep.
So I guess it's good that I tone it down a little bit.
I appreciate you managed to keep the window still standing through all of that.
Yeah, well, you know, it had to look like a 1980s rock video, right?
That's kind of exactly what it looked like, yeah.
Bang your head! Mm-hmm. Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scows. This is episode 33, I think. And if I'm doing my math right, this is the first episode of a brand new year!
Whoa.
Brand new. As in, it's not like that old one, even though it's completely like that old one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, nothing really has changed. You're the same you. I know I said a bunch of lies in that other episode, but like, no, you're the same person. You might want to clean yourself up a little bit, you know?
I mean, they could definitely work harder if they want.
I think they should. I think it would benefit them. Life coach Max says this is what you should do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I picked myself up in 2019.
Yeah, you talk about svelte.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
Still got a ways to go, but
yeah, but
there's
you know,
less. I'm a lesser Max.
You are a lesser Max, but by being the greatest of Max.
Wow.
I challenge you to find a better Max out there. You can't.
Any Max?
Any Max.
Just not just Maximilians, but any Max?
Any Max.
Mighty?
Mighty? I mean, he let that big guy do a lot of the fighting for him.
I mean, that's just intelligent. He's a big guy.
Yeah, but how's the big guy feel about that?
He's probably fine with it. He's good with a sword.
He was good with a sword, but like he was all like, you probably shouldn't kill those folks. Just knock them out with your sword.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess. He's pretty good.
It was all right.
Yeah.
I just remember those toys were like Polly Pockets for boys.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yep.
It's a little silly.
I would steal my sister's Polly Pockets to play with them because he needed to start out on Earth and then go other places.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
I remember, so I'm a little older. I had Transformers that my sister had some transforming jewelry, toy, whatever. And I just always stole it because I'm like, she's friends with the Transformers. She transformed.
That's right.
She's a ring.
Yeah.
She listens in on Decepticon plots. Anyways, let's talk movies. Do you want to go first for this year, or do you want me to go first?
I feel like you should go first.
You want this?
I do.
You got it. My first movie is called Lady of Sejet, also known as The Blood Queen.
Whoa.
The Blood Queen. I found it called both things fairly equally, so I put them both up there.
That works.
This is from 2015. The IMDb minutes, my favorite type of minute, is 1 hour 46 minutes. Genre, horror.
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 Directed by Andre Kunst.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a tough name.
That's a problematic name if you kind of switch around
Kunst.
Two letters.
It's only problematic if you don't like Kunst. starring, I'm going to do this. Okay, here we go. Svetlana.
So far, so good. That's a name I've heard of.
Kodchenkova.
Okay, that sounds...
Svetlana Kodchenkova?
Sure.
Isabel Allen, thank you, Isabel. Thank you for getting cast in this movie. And Ada Condescu?
Okay.
I don't know. Based on a story of Countess Bathory, a serial killer in 16th century Transylvania who supposedly killed hundreds of children.
Whoa.
Now, Max, are you familiar with the story of Countess Bathory? Because she is a real historical figure.
Nope.
All right, so there's a lot of... See, neither was I, to any extent. I had heard of her. Like, once I started watching, I'm like, oh, I've heard this. I know who this is. Okay. I am of the opinion this is probably a woman who had some power back in the day, which is unheard of.
Sure.
And wild stories started about her because she can't have power. She eats children or does this or whatever.
Okay.
And it being Transylvania on top of that with all the weird stories that happened there.
Yeah.
The basic story is people feel, and this is real life people, felt that she killed children and bathed in their blood, which helped keep her young and beautiful.
Okay.
So.
Did it?
Probably. I mean, Svetlana looked good. I'm pretty sure she was the the countess. But there's also just as many people who feel like that's complete BS and she was just a good leader for her country.
Okay.
So whatever.
Sure.
This story follows two gypsy children who end up working in the castle.
Okay.
Not by choice.
Got it.
The movie has good acting by both the kids and the countess, but it plods for way too long. And it is, like I said, based on a real person who is super interesting. Some people love her, some people hate her. The movie's not that great, though.
Okay.
I thought this movie was mid-range, right?
Mid-range? You said the word plods, which means it's, yeah, in my head, if I do a quick Tim calculation, can't score any higher than a 6 at the moment.
You're right.
Because a full plod's knocking 4 points off, no doubt.
So I don't always score the movies immediately.
Okay.
I don't always. I ended up, because I watched this with my wife. She liked it, probably about as much as I did, but she liked the story, and she started looking up the historical person. We actually ended up watching a different movie, which will come up later.
Okay.
Which was way better. So this one just went down more points, because it's harder for me to recommend it when I know there's a better version out there.
But it inspired you at least enough to look into the person and to watch
the
movie.
So it has some redeeming qualities. The thing is, you're doing less focus on her and the country and what's going on at that time. You're just following this weird story about kids that was thrown together. Gypsy kids that nobody loves, that are dirty. Everybody looked dirty. You would have liked that, Max.
Okay.
Everybody dirty but the countess and like a few handmaids.
Sure.
But yeah, this movie isn't super great. So I won't spend too much more time on it. IMDb score, 3.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes. Did not watch it one way or the other. Nobody watched it.
Holy shit.
I actually gave it a better score than IMDb, though.
Okay.
I gave it a 4.5 out of 10.
Okay.
I think it did its job. I think there's better movies, and we'll get to that. But a super interesting story. So look up The Countess of Bathory. It's a wild story. And pick a side.
Sure.
Was she great? Did she bathe in the blood of children? Does it matter? Can't she do both?
I suppose you could.
I mean, they did have cool scenes of them filling up the bathtub with blood.
Hmm.
I did enjoy that.
Neat.
Anyways, what you got?
I have a movie from 1991.
Oh, I like that year.
It's about two guys and a journey that they go on.
Mm.
These guys are named Bill and Ted.
How bogus be this journey?
Bogus.
Oh, bogus.
I watched this in June of 2019. It is 120 minutes exactly, which is 2 hours for all you plebes out there.
That was an MTV show.
The genre is sci-fi comedy. It was directed by Peter Hewitt. It's got the Keanu in it. It's got the Alex Winter in it. And it has George Carlin in it.
The Keanu.
And the movie is about Bill and Ted being killed by robot doubles. Whoa!
Whoa!
And then the duo must make their way back from the afterlife. Awesome!
Way!
So my thoughts on the movie are it's really a strange movie. It's so weird. It gives me a very 90s vibe. When I think of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, having watched it, it really harkened back to like Ren and Stimpy,
sure,
Earthworm Jim, like these really kind of offbeat, like how were these things that people enjoyed because they're so weird?
It was a weird time, that 91.
Yeah.
Because things started shifting culturally. Even with music leading into how people dressed, how people acted.
Right.
The whole F authority kind of thing was coming up.
Sure.
But 91, everybody was just like,
Yeah, it's like we're all looking around to try to find ourselves. And like kids stuff in the 90s is so strange. And Bill and Ted is definitely in that kind of vibe.
Sure.
And it's weird. But it does a lot really successfully. I think William Sadler as the character of Death is fucking great.
We just love William Sadler.
He's one of my favorite character actors of all time. He's so good. And his death is no exception to me digging him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a strange movie. I could see why somebody would be like, I do not understand this movie. It is too freaking weird. Mm-hmm. But if you're in for that kind of weirdness and you're open to the idea of stuff being completely out there, you're going to have a good time.
I would say this movie would do better now being released than it did then.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. It's definitely got a good pace to it. There's a lot of you're going from thing to thing to thing pretty quickly. It's really weird. The robot double idea is really weird. They both play the robot doubles really oddly. The whole thing is just kind of strange, but it's got a fun element with the Battle of the Bands thing going on, and it doesn't lack compared to, I don't think it's quite as good as Excellent Adventure.
No.
But I still think it's quite a good movie. IMDb gives it a 6.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critical score is 54%. Audience is at 56%. And I am kind of in that zone between all of those scores, and I'm at a 6 out of 10 on it.
Okay.
An enjoyable film. Definitely weird, but it is so much fun that like you can kind of forgive it its weird bits and odd kind of moments.
I appreciate that they went somewhere a little different than Excellent Adventure.
Totally agree.
I think that was a surprise. It was a hit for them, right?
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
So I like that they were like, let's do something a little different. And I remember this not being as big of a hit, but like people saw it. People liked it.
I think you'd see maybe even more people like Bogus than Excellent.
I want to rewatch it for that reason. Yeah. I haven't watched it recent enough for me to really weigh in. I know I love Excellent Adventure, though, so I don't know that it can be overthrown.
Right.
I do want to watch Bogus again.
Nice.
Well, time for my second movie.
Uh-oh.
Do you know what it's called?
No.
It's not a weird movie, I promise. It's a normal movie. It doesn't have a weird title. It is called The Proposition.
Oh.
Are you familiar with The Proposition? It is from 2005.
The Proposition.
You probably aren't. It's a weird Western movie.
Oh, no.
It's 1 hour, 44 minutes. The genre is crime drama Western. It is directed by John Hillcoat, starring Ray Winstone, Guy Pearce, and Emily Watson.
Okay.
So, your description: a lawman apprehends a notorious outlaw and gives him 9 days to kill his older brother, or else they'll execute his younger brother.
Huh.
This...
That's quite the proposition.
This is truly an interesting dilemma. So, the middle brother is Guy Pearce.
Okay.
And I will say, this was filmed, I believe, in Australia. I'm not 100% on that.
That would make sense.
They all look so dirty the whole time. You would love it, Max.
I love that.
It looks correct. Guy Pearce looks like he's going to dehydrate and die at times.
Nice.
Which is, you know, normal Guy Pearce. Like, oh, his shirt's off. Oh, he needs water.
Yeah.
Ray Winstone steals this movie.
Nice.
He's so good.
That's awesome.
He plays the captain or whoever is who has the younger brother in jail and says, if you do this for me, I'll let him go. Because there's no way he's going to let him go otherwise.
Right.
There's a lot of, there's not a lot of action, but when it happens, it's fantastic.
That's great.
Very, very grim, this movie. This is the type of movie I'd say does go too long for a lot of people, though.
Okay. Because
Western is a tough genre for modern audiences.
Yes.
I like Westerns, and I don't mind them being slow if they get somewhere great.
Yes.
This kind of follows that formula. Now, there's a couple points I'd like to make. First of all, there's a guy named Warren Ellis attached to this movie. It is not that Warren Ellis, because I think that's why I watched it.
Okay.
However, this Warren Ellis is still a pretty cool dude, because he is an amazing composer, and he's friends with the musician Nick Cave, who also had a part with this movie coming to life.
Huh.
He's that guy who sings that song on the Peaky Blinders, I think.
Okay.
It's a good Western with huge moments, but it won't make anyone fall in love with the genre. So I think if you're like, if you enjoy Westerns, you should check this out. If you just don't, like, if you want a Western that's going to make you enjoy Westerns, it's Tombstone, right?
Tombstone's great.
Tombstone's probably the one I would go to and say, this has names you recognize, it moves a little quicker, Val Kilmer before he got fat. Like, you love this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Tombstones are great, and it's more modern.
Yep.
So I think Unforgiven is another more recent, like, 90s.
Yeah, Unforgiven as well.
Unforgiven's real good. Obviously, Once Upon a Time in the West, like the Sergio Leone stuff, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, all those, all his movies are pretty iconic. But you're absolutely right. And it seems like Westerns are a strange beast in that they are allowed to be 2+ hours. Like, it's just when you go into a Western, it's like, I'm going to sit here for 2 to 3 hours.
Did the crew move the equipment via a horse as well?
Yeah. They're all really slow, but a lot of them, the really good ones, they're slow, not because they just are slow. They're good because they get somewhere. The Searchers, the John Ford era stuff, all that's like, these are deep character based kind of movies that are trying to say something, and they're in no rush. Just like, it kind of fits that era where you walked or you rode on a horse. Maybe if you were lucky, you were on a train.
You were very lucky you were on that train.
Yeah.
To Busan.
Oh boy.
So I think this movie's really good, but I definitely put that caveat out there to the listener that I enjoy Westerns and you may not.
Fair enough.
You know, in the world of like Westworld, where it's like, oh, the West is, it shows you how the West is, but it's also got all the sci-fi stuff involved with it as well. If you enjoy that kind of thing and you're like, maybe I do want to try a Western, this one's pretty grim. This is pretty accurate to how the West would have been.
Nice.
Even if it was filmed in Australia. So IMDb score 7.4 out of 10. That's real high, right? IMDb.
Yes, it is.
Them old IMDbs shook the cobwebs off their finger, pointed up a couple more ticks.
Yeah, wild.
Critically, 125 critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 86%. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Audience, 68,000 some odd people, 85%.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
That surprised me. Because as much as I told you I love this and everything, I'm below everybody.
Okay.
I gave it a 6.5. It's very respectable. I just know it's tough for people to get into a Western nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that everyone was higher than me. I actually really like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
What you got, fool?
Well, I got a movie that's not a Western.
Okay.
It is.
It can't all be.
It's a biopic. Okay. It's from 2018. It's a movie called The Lords of Chaos. So.
Lords.
I watched it in June, I believe. It is an hour and 58 minutes, and it was directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who did a bunch of music videos.
Okay.
And he was a big music video guy, and this is one of his first features.
All right.
So it's pretty cool to see. And it's got Rory Culkin in the lead.
Hey, we love Rory.
Yeah. It's got Sky Ferreira and Emery Cohen in it as well.
Sky Ferreira. That sounds familiar to me. Yeah. But okay.
So the movie is, as I said, it's a biopic. It's set in 1987 in Oslo, where 17-year-old Euronymous becomes fixated on creating the true Norwegian black metal.
Oh, yes.
With his band Mayhem, which you may have heard of.
Oh, yeah. Mayhem. Great.
Yeah. He mounts shocking publicity stunts in order to put the band's name on the map, but the lines between show and reality begin to become blurred.
Whoa.
So this is largely based on the band Mayhem and all the things that happened with them, which included burning of churches and eventually, you know what I mean, like murder.
Yeah.
And things of that nature. So it's a dark story. Yeah, it's a dark story. It's really unsettling the way that Jonas does the actual visuals are really bleak. And when he chooses to use a lot of heavy color, there's reasons like fire or blood, and it's like you can tell there's a lot of emphasis, and it helps really kind of fit the story through the lens of Rory Culkin's character, and those are the things they were kind of fixed on. And it was, the music was important, but also making the what was behind the music, the motivation for the music, just seem even more brutal.
Right.
Was also really important, and you never knew if that was just him being shticky and him trying to be like, no, come on, guy, like we need a story to sell, like him being pitchy and a salesperson, or if it's actually him believing he really, like, this should be brutal and awful and these fucking people are posers because they're not fucking hardcore. It's really interesting to see how he plays that, and I think everybody in it does a really solid job of kind of selling that.
I have almost watched this movie a bunch of times.
It's good.
And I'm just like, oh, am I in the mood for this though?
It's a weird one to be in the mood, but it's good. It's, yeah. I think if you're not, it's still okay to watch, because I think the repulsion factor of it and like the like, oh, this is so fucking like good, like it just rubs you the wrong way. But that's the point.
Right.
It's like these choices are bad choices, and you know, you get to watch the character kind of start to live with those decisions, and it's pretty interesting. It's a lot deeper than you may think it would be. It's not just kind of like being like, yo, these guys were fucking hardcore. It actually like gets into the, is this a good idea, is this a bad idea, how do these decisions weigh on someone. So really thoughtful, not just like,
this is fucking harsh metal, wow.
Yeah, knowing Rory, I didn't know Rory was in it, so knowing he's in it, it definitely brings it up a few notches on my
nice
IQ there, you know.
Cool. IMDb gives it a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critical score of 69 critics, the best amount of critics to have. It got a 74%. It had an audience score of 60%. I give it a 7 out of 10.
But if you could give it a 6.9, you would.
I would, just so I could go nice. But yeah, movie's good. It's worth your time. And, you know, it can't all, they all can't be 69.